Welcome to the Daily Word from the Fountain, heard weekdays at 4 p.m. on Life Radio WIFI. Stay tuned for today's encouraging and inspirational message.
I put the title to the message today. It might be a little odd to you, but here it is. Guess who's coming to dinner? How many people in the room remember the movie in 1967 with Katharine Hepburn and Sidney Poitier? Guess who's coming to dinner? If you're old, I mean, if you remember the movie or you've seen it as a rerun, raise your hand. Okay, more people in the first, but that's okay. Guess who's coming to dinner? As I was watching TV the other night and I scrolled through the menu trying to find HGTV, I saw that the rerun was playing. Guess who's coming to dinner? Here's what it's about. It's about a 23-year-old white girl in 1967 who comes home from her 10-day trip to Hawaii on vacation, and she brings her fiance with her to her upper-class white home. She brings a black man with her. Now, in 1967, I don't know if you know this or not, there were still 17 states in the Union that interracial marriage was actually illegal. How many are thankful for the civil rights movement? Amen. But back in the day, it was a taboo, see? And then Sidney Poitier, he phones his parents, and he hadn't told them yet he was marrying a white girl. He was a physician, a doctor, and yet he calls his parents, and his parents don't want him to marry the white girl, and the white parents don't want her to marry the black man, although it was fine for them to have a black housekeeper, and they encouraged their daughter to love her. But I remember, I think Katharine Hepburn said, well, he's no more black than you. And the movie ends with everybody, the white people and the black people, all sitting down to dinner, but it was an awkward situation. It was almost like, sad to say it, but almost that he didn't belong there. It was, he did, but in that culture, it was like he didn't belong. It was okay if we passed each other on the street, but we don't have dinner together. It's okay if we maybe work in the same place, but do we marry one another? Almost like it was a surprise that he would be invited to dinner. I want to take you to a story in the Old Testament today, and really I get the title for my message today from that movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Everybody say it out loud. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. A short story from the Old Testament. It's about someone that gets invited to dinner who really doesn't fit. He doesn't belong in the king's palace, but yet he gets an invitation from the king. In my opinion, it's awkward that he comes to the king's palace, yet this story exposes the compassion of God, the mercy, and the kindness of our Savior. It is actually the story, it is a glaring depiction of the gospel of Jesus. Guess who the main player is? Again, David, King David. We're talking about Giants Must Fall. And we'll pick that series up next week. But really, the person that's invited to dinner, he's fighting a lot of giants. But David again, King David, the one who killed the giant, still a picture of a better David or Jesus to come. I think this story could be made into a Broadway play. The characters are intriguing. Every one of them teaches something about God. And here is the setting. Now, David had already been anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. David would be the second king of Israel. But the first king of Israel, his name was Saul. Saul had a son whose name was Jonathan. Now, David and Jonathan, even though Saul hated David, was jealous of David, Saul's son Jonathan and David were so connected to each other, It was a relationship where, I think it is 2 Samuel 1:26. Listen to this. It says that David loved Jonathan more than a man would love a woman. David and Jonathan were like glued together. They had made a covenant with one another. Here was the covenant. They promised each other to the death that they would take care of each other's families. One day, while in battle, King Saul and his son Jonathan fell. Both died in the Battle of Gibeon. Same day, same time, they both fell. David then ascends to the throne. David is now king. And in the chaotic days that followed, what happens is when a king dies and another king comes to the throne, all the descendants of the previous king's family are killed off. See, the new king doesn't want to leave the risk of a coup by any of the family that is left. And so in these chaotic days, the raid was on, and all the descendants of Saul were killed. However, there was one lone survivor. He was the grandson of King Saul, a young crippled boy who was the son of Jonathan, Saul, King Saul's grandson, and his name was Mephibosheth. Say that three times fast. Reuben gave up, said, I'm just going to call him Phoebe. Saul has a grandson. He's the lone survivor, and his name is Mephibosheth. Reuben, I just told him that you gave up trying to say that name. Did you hear it? Yeah, Phoebe. Yeah. Everybody say, God loves Phoebe. One survivor. And here is what happened to him. Look at the big screen. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. Watch how it happened. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. That was the news that they both fell in a day, that David ascended to the throne, and the raid was on, and all the descendants were going to be killed. And his nurse took Phoebe up and fled. And as she fled in her haste, he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. So watch, quick review. Mephibosheth, 5 years old, when the report comes that his grandfather Saul and his father Jonathan died in the battle. So his nurse, thinking that they're coming for the boy to kill him too, lest he rise up and start a coup, she grabs the boy in her arms. All she's thinking is survival. We got to get out of here before David's raiders come. And in her hurry to save the boy, she dropped him, and both of his feet were broken. The bones never did set right, so Mephibosheth grew up crippled on his feet. Not a very good beginning. And I come to talk to some people today who might have had a rough start. Are we ready, everybody? Now watch this. I told you that this story is a picture of the gospel. Mephibosheth was crippled by the fall. Everybody say, crippled by the fall. And Mephibosheth represents the whole human race. He was crippled by a physical fall. We are crippled by the spiritual fall. Walk with me, everybody. We are all crippled spiritually, morally, and emotionally. And here's where it all started in Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 12. Watch. All goes back to Adam. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, so death spread to all men now because all sinned. I want you to pump the brakes and hear this. How many know Adam messed up? What'd he do? He blamed the woman, right? The woman you gave me. She said, and then Eve says, well, the serpent messed me up. But Adam fell. Adam and Eve had the perfect life and the perfect world. They bought into the lie of the serpent. Adam fell. Now, Adam is the source of the human race. Don't miss this. If a well is polluted, Every stream coming from that well is polluted. Adam is the well of the human race, and all of us, and he is polluted by sin. And all of us come from Adam, and we're all crippled by sin. I know preachers don't talk about this much. They don't want to offend anybody, but I'm here to tell you that we're all crippled by the fall of Adam. And when we're, have you ever noticed that you don't have to teach a baby to say no? I mean, it's just our nature to rebel. And we're all crippled by the fall. Mephibosheth is a picture of the whole human race. Are we together? Born in sin, we have a propensity to sin, and man loves darkness better than he does light. Ultimately, it is sin that leaves us crippled emotionally, spiritually, and in every way, morally. Mephibosheth must have felt like a nobody. You see, back in the day, they didn't have disability acts and laws to prevent disabled people from being discriminated against. If you were a crippled person back in the day, in the Bible day, you were just, nobody wanted to deal with you. You would get pushed aside, rejected, labeled, overlooked, ignored, talked down to. I don't think Mephibosheth had any hopes. I don't think he had any dreams. Don't miss what I'm saying, because God's coming right up some of your street today. Because there's some people in the room that feel like him, crippled emotionally, crippled spiritually, crippled morally. And I think Mephibosheth probably felt like a nobody. They didn't make a way for his wheelchair. He didn't have a wheelchair. I wonder what his life was like. I don't know. I can only imagine. I would imagine he probably crawled around on the floor as a child. Maybe as he got a little bigger, there might have been some crutches. I don't know, but he was... Both of his feet were broken. To look at that, it must have looked deformed. He had no way of walking, so he always lived life close to the floor. Nobody ever looked up to him. They only looked down on him. Nobody wanted to deal with him. It was kind of like, hey, I'd like to invite you over for dinner. Can we bring Mephibosheth? No. No, just leave him home. Leave the crippled boy home. I don't think he had any hopes. I don't think he had any dreams. I don't think he thought there was a future for him. I don't think he really lived. I think he just existed. And he probably was just waiting for the end. I want to talk to some people today who feel crippled. And maybe you have no hopes. And maybe you have no dreams. Maybe you feel like you've got no future. And you have spent way too much of your life living close to the floor. And it seems like people have labeled you, rejected you, looked down on you because of maybe your past or your present issues. But I want you to know the good news is even though he was crippled by the fall, he was sought out by the king. Somebody say amen out loud. So here we got a crippled boy. Watch this. He's crippled. Nobody cares nothing about him. He's been pushed aside all his life. Now, King David wants to find him, not to kill him, which really, I guess you would say he deserves because that's just the way life was. Aren't you glad God doesn't give us what we deserve? But out of his kindness and endless mercy and compassion, he invites us to his table. Now watch what happens when King David learns about this crippled boy. It comes from 2 Samuel 9. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house named Ziba. And they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "I am your servant." Hold on now. Ziba had been Saul's servant all his life. Next verse. The king said, "Is there still not someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God?" Ziba said to the king, watch this. He said, "Yeah, Jonathan still has a kid. He's crippled on his feet." I find it interesting that he doesn't call him by name. He only calls him by his label. And Ziba knew very well what his name was. But to Ziba, he didn't count. So he doesn't even call him by his name. He knew he was. He had been Saul's servant. He had served Jonathan. Ziba probably remembered when he was born, but he was crippled, and he knew that he was crippled. He knew what his issues were. I hate that when people get labeled. Maybe you're here today and people have labeled you. I don't know. But he did. Ziba, the servant, cared so little about Mephibosheth, he didn't even call him. He didn't say, yeah, Jonathan has a son. His name is Mephibosheth. He said, no, Jonathan has a son, and he's a crippled kid. Verse 4. Next verse. And the king said, where is he? The king said, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodabar. Wow. The king? Wait. The king is interested? King David is interested in this crippled kid? When I started the message, I told you that this is a picture of the gospel. And just like David is a picture of Jesus when he kills Goliath, which is sin and death and darkness, David the king here is a picture of Jesus looking for crippled people. Oh, somebody say amen out loud to that. And so he's Mephibosheth is crippled by the fall, but yet he is sought out by the king. Wow, I love the story, because the king is looking for a crippled boy. Kings would never reach out to a crippled boy. They only wanted the finest specimen of men and women sitting at their table, the rich, the proud, the government officials, and those who had authority, and those who were athletic and had hair. You know, I didn't even want to wear the short sleeve shirt today, because Reuben's got these biceps and Johnny's got these anyway. So you had to be strong and you had to be athletic. And for the king to invite a crippled boy to the palace, that's awkward. That doesn't fit. But guess who's going to come to dinner? I said, guess who's coming to dinner? I love it because God searches for those who are only known by their labels. I love it because God searches for the nobodies of the world. And while the world labels everybody, he's a crippled kid. He's a drug addict, the junkie, the whore, the jailbird, the loser, the failure. The world calls you by your label, but Jesus will call you by your name. Thank God. Thank God. Yeah, you know, so-and-so's daughter, she's an addict. Yeah, so-and-so's husband, you know, he's an alcoholic. The world is famous for calling us by labels.
We hope you enjoyed the Daily Word from the Fountain. The Fountain of Life is located at 2035 Columbus Road in Burlington, New Jersey. Pastor Russ would love to meet you this Sunday at either of our 9 or 11 a.m. services. For directions or more information, please feel free to contact us by calling 609-499-2131 or visit our website at flcnj.org. On behalf of Pastor Russ, thanks for listening to today's message on Life Radio WIFI, your inspiration station.